Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
There's a lot to address with you guys. I always appreciate you guys having me on every other week. I also have learned clearly none of you ever listened to our show.
From Madison to the Big Apple.
You can have an elite defender, you know, quarterback, tackler.
Matt, do you think that Josh Jacobs will be the best ball runner in the league this year?
I'm not the QB whisperer. I'm just a whisperer. Yeah.
The second that red light goes off, he's like, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? Hey, what are you doing? What is the topic for tomorrow? Noon, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Let's go. I have to take a call to an affiliate. Bye.
It's time for Evan Cohen on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I mean, he does that in segment too sometimes.
That's true.
Here's the thing about Caleb Williams that you guys need to know.
That's good. Good job.
He doesn't need a pat on the back.
He's not you.
Wow.
Who's a good co-host?
Evan co-host. Wow. Evan Cohen, who co-hosts Unsportsmanlike right here on ESPN Radio.
Brought to you by Shackelford Heating and Cooling. Whether you need HVAC installs, maintenance, upgrades, or repairs, Shackelford is ready to serve you today.
Primetime Orsheim continuing his audition to be one of the producers of Unsportsmanlike. Heck of an open there, Ryan. Every time you add something new for Evan, it's impressive.
Well, that one was, I gotta give some credit to Ashton Rotman for tipping me off to all of, I guess I would say Evan's mumbling on Unsportsmanlike, as the rest of the crew kind of gave you credit for there, Evan, but, might have some similarities with Jim in the way he speaks into a microphone as well, as we found out earlier in the show today.
Well, Molly, that's actually a perfect segue for you
yes,
to drag me.
Okay, so Evan, little background here. Ryan. Jim went to go speak at his daughter's...
I was invited to speak.
Okay.
Yes.
He was invited to speak at an elementary school assembly where he essentially had to bring in sports and safety and how it's okay to be like... opposing fans as we head into this big game between the Packers and the Bears, that kind of thing. Is that a good gist of it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, one, I was saying I didn't want to watch Jim or any videos or photos of Jim because I would die of embarrassment because it's like watching yourself on screen or hearing your voice or something. It's so uncomfortable to watch, so uncomfortable to listen to. So, but as we were watching Jim on this video, the last segment, and if you missed any of it, you can watch it on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream.
I think the video is up now on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream.
Nope, that's just the still
the picture,
photo.
Still photo, sorry.
Yep. So Jim, I couldn't even see him in the photo because it was so blurry because his 9-year-old daughter took it. But Jim has this thing, and I'm so curious if you've noticed it, because I noticed it at the Ron Dayne event that we had, I don't know, over a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, whenever it was. And Jim was moderating that panel, and I believe that he was holding it in the same way that he probably was during the school assembly, where a normal person, Evan, you're going to hold the microphone like, whatever, like this, right? Like, you see the reporters on ESPN during the college football playoffs, they're going to be holding it like this, okay?
Molly's got the microphone underneath her,
yes,
right underneath your mouth if you're watching or listening on the radio.
Dazzling details. It's more important where the hand placement is. But, Evan, Jim holds it like this. He thinks he's like a beatboxer, rapper, like... Boots and cats. Like, that's what he thinks he can, like, do, and that's what he was doing at the school assembly.
At some point, so Jim basically, for those listening on the radio, you're saying he puts his hand over the top of the mic,
yes,
almost like he's becoming a basketball a little bit, and the next thing you're waiting for him to say is, nowadays, everybody want to talk, like, got something to say, but nothing comes. Like, they just want to do FM, basically, is what you're saying.
Yes.
I see that. I see what you're saying. He doesn't do the... You know, like, Jeremy Schapp, ESPN. He doesn't do that. Like, he doesn't do the professional version
of
that.
No,
no. I'm Jim the Rapper.
Yes. He thinks he's... Well, actually, he said that he wants to be Tupac. If he could be any rapper, he would be Tupac.
In the last segment.
Why are you blushing so hard right now?
Because you keep on roasting me.
Your face is the color of Evan's shirt.
What's that?
It's a Wisconsin shirt.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, there you go.
So you want to be Tupac currently? That's the current rapper you
want to
be?
Well, I mean, I think where is he? Okay. Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic? We don't know where. He's like Elvis. He's somewhere. We don't know.
Allegedly. Goodness.
So, yeah. So, Molly, your question was, how does Evan hold him?
Yeah, Evan, how do you hold the mic?
I think more similarly to where you have it, where it's kind of middle or on the bottom. That's like not over it, like I'm pretending to rap. I would say that at some points I probably have done it where I'm like pretending to rap at different times where I think I'm cool, where I know I'm not. Mm-hmm. So I probably would be more I'm trying to think the last time I held a microphone like that. It was probably with you guys, now that I think about it.
When we did that on Honeys.
Fucking Honeys. I'm just trying. You can find pictures, I guess, from Pablo probably has her phone.
She's looking for them. She is a great investigator of finding photos for. I'm sure that's exactly what she's going to find very quickly.
I don't like particularly the way I look at that one. But
oh, don't worry. I said earlier I didn't like a photo of me, and she found it within 3 minutes. So don't worry. She will find it very quickly. No worries about that at all. So, Evan, too, on Sportsmanlike, and this big game coming up this weekend. It is funny how big the game is. Like, that's the elementary school's like, hey, there's a big game. Can you come in and talk to kids about sports? And they're all wearing their sports jerseys at this because it is of cultural significance in Wisconsin and obviously in Illinois and across the country. But it was interesting to me, to the Green Bay Packers, you had them as one of your hot mess teams. And I believe you said if they win, they're not. But explain the hot mess.
Yeah, okay. So every single week, what I do is on Wednesdays on Unsportsmanlike, I put together a list at 6 a.m., on ESPN Madison, where it's the teams that go into the week looking good and come out of the week looking kind of messy. And normally it's because of a game, something happens off the field, whatever it is. Well, in no way, shape, or form do I think the Green Bay Packers are a mess, because they're in the playoffs. They have been a very good football team at times this year. What I focused on was the idea that I thought main topic leading into this game at the time I released the hot mess list was all anyone was talking about was the Flores contract. And maybe you could sit there and say, hey, that's a good distraction for this week, and they're going to kick the Bears' butt, and everyone's focusing on the LaFleur contract, and now Sullivan leaving for the Dolphins, and the Jeff Hafley, I'll see you next week, and slam the hands down at the press conference, which nobody's going to focus on the 2 minutes before that where he wrote a love letter to the Packers, which was amazing. But I thought in the moment it was kind of interesting that you have a playoff team, and this is pre-John Harbaugh, by the way, that you have a playoff team that everyone is buzzing about the idea of their contracts, of the contract of the coach for the next couple of seasons. I thought that was a little messy going into this week. By the way, you could argue based on comments and stuff, I think with the Bears, you know, it's been underplayed a little bit, but Ben Johnson better win. Better win on Saturday night. Better win. You can't have an introductory press conference where you call out Matt LaFleur and you say, I love beating him twice a year, and then you have your second chance to beat him the second time and not do it. You know, both of these teams, in a weird way, have had a lot of noise, in my mind at least, over the last week. Now, Ben Johnson is from last January popping back up again this week, but I just think, Molly and Jim, there's been a lot of weird noise that hasn't been about the X's and O's of the game this week, in my opinion, nationally.
So who do you feel like has more pressure on them heading into this game, Matt LaFleur or Ben Johnson?
Yeah, this is interesting because I think Ben Johnson does, and no one agrees with me. And here's why I think Ben Johnson does. I think that the Bears have to win this game. I don't think the Bears have to win a playoff game. That makes no sense, but let me explain. If the Bears this weekend, and obviously we're in Madison, so nobody cares about the Bears, but Jim, that's for you specifically.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. But anyway, so the point is, when you start your presser to take a job calling out the Packers head coach, you better beat the Packers in the playoffs. If the Bears this weekend were playing the Rams, I would not say the Bears have to win. But because they're playing the Packers and they're the 2 seed and they're at home, they better win. Because, Molly, here's the other thing. Well, I think Matt LaFleur would obviously like to be with the Packers the next 10 years as a really high-paid coach. What's the worst-case scenario for him? He doesn't win this weekend. He doesn't have this job moving forward, but he does have another job the next day, right? Like, this is not a guy that, oh, my God, you just lost your chance, right? Matt LaFleur is a good enough coach to be the Titans coach next year or the Falcons coach next year. I think it seems like, in talking to everybody around there in that state, that he's going to be the Packers coach next year. It's just not off the board that he's not. But I think there's more pressure on the Bears. I feel like I'm in the minority on this one, though.
I'm going to disagree with you on it. I get what you're saying, but every Bears coach, since at least prior to Lovie Smith, took some sort of shot at the Packers in their opening press conference. But it was not personal to a coach. That is a slight difference there. Speaking of coaches, though, LaFleur, I agree. He'll be back. But Jason Wilde brought up something with us a couple weeks ago that maybe there'd be a change on the offensive staff. And he brought up someone who could maybe say no, or at least be an equal to Coach LaFleur. And the name that kind of popped in my head, and I know that he is at least kicking the tires with the Detroit Lions, is Mike McDaniel. Is he a guy that, if LaFleur wanted to upgrade his staff, could be a great offensive coordinator to bring in here and improve the offense and let Matt be more of a head coach of the entire team and kind of allow McDaniel to run the offense a little bit more?
Jim, here's why they were on the hot mess team. Because you asked a question about the Green Bay Packers coaching staff for next season, and I don't know that Molly or Primetime or anybody involved in the show would say, boy, that's a bad question to ask today. Mm-hmm. And think about that. We're talking about the Green Bay Packers before a playoff game, and in your mind, as someone that watches every Packers game in the great state of Wisconsin, you're thinking, well, this year's not going to pan out the way that I think it's going to, or it should have. So let me ask about the staff for next year. Yeah. That's your question, your justified question, is why I would have them on the hot mess list. Right there. That's why you'd be – because have you guys – I mean, have we talked about the actual game tomorrow? We've talked about the pressure. We've talked about LaFleur. We've talked about Ben Johnson. We talked about the comments, the Halfley comments, the guy going to the Dolphins. Could Mike McDaniel be there next year as the OC? Have we said, can Jordan Love just do what Molly said he would this year and make us stop asking questions about Jordan Love? We haven't even gotten to that. And I'm not saying you guys are wrong in your questions. I'm saying this is the weird part about this game. Rivalry, hate each other, coaches talk junk, Love versus Caleb. But no one's talking about the on-field part of it because it feels like Packers fans haven't even gotten to the place of, what if we just go on a run here?
Well,
yeah. Go ahead, Ma. That's a great point.
Yes, that is true. And I feel like that's kind of been our conversation this week.
Yep.
I know we've talked a lot about Matt LaFleur's future with the Green Bay Packers. So that is interesting that you pointed out. But I was going to ask you actually a question about the game, just thinking, like, what do you think is going to happen? Who do you think is going
to
win?
Wait, Molly, sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need to ask you a question of what you just said, if I may. Mm-hmm. It's a Packers fan. Have you played out on or off the air? You live and die by this team. Have you played out, or any of the Jim, Matt, and Molly fans, callers, social media, whatever, has anyone played out, how did they get to the Super Bowl? Is that a possibility? Has anyone let their mind race?
No.
Has anyone played out, oh my God, what if they somehow play Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl this year, which is not likely, but they're in the playoffs, both teams.
Yeah.
Right, it's not like off the board. No one has let their mind race.
No, so I will say we haven't done on the show. However, it was Monday. I was getting ready to like come into work, and I did have this thought of like, holy crap, what if the Packers beat the Bears this weekend, then they go to play the Seahawks, and what if they beat Seattle in Seattle? Like, and I actually had a thought, and I believe I actually said this on the show earlier this week, that I have a better feeling. Maybe I only said it in show prep now that I say it. I don't know.
No, you said it on the air. I know exactly what you're going to say.
That I almost have a better feeling that the Packers could beat the Seahawks than they could the Chicago Bears. I have no evidence behind that whatsoever. It's just a feeling I have, and that might just be because I'm scared of this rivalry in the playoffs.
Yeah, that makes sense. What you're saying makes sense, and you probably – see, this is like I thought – this is what should be happening under normal circumstances because you should be playing out, well, are we going to really let Sam Darnold beat us in the postseason? Maybe he has a clunker of a game and maybe we take advantage of it. And all of a sudden, maybe we're in the NFC title game and then all bets are off. Like the reason I want to keep going back to Jim's first question about the Packers, because all of it ties in, is why would you have a playoff team on your hot mess list this week on Unsportsmanlike? And it's because of all of these other ancillary questions that you guys and topics that you guys are rightfully discussing as it comes to the Green Bay Packers that has nothing to do with let's play this out. Okay, so if they beat the Bears, they go to Seattle. Darnold's not that good in that moment, let's just say. All right, who do we want in the NFC? Where can we go on the road NFC championship game? And then could this guy come back from injury then? Could that guy? No one is doing that. Not the most optimistic of Packers fans. And that is a weird place to sit here and think that this year's Green Bay Packers team, with Jordan Love healthy-ish right now going into the playoffs, we're not even playing out what if. Mm-hmm. How many other teams in the NFC have we not played that? We're not playing that out with Carolina. I mean, we're definitely playing it out with Seattle.
Yep.
We play it out with Philly, obviously. They play it out with the Rams, obviously. I think if the Niners beat the Eagles – you could play it out with them. And obviously, if they beat the Eagles, that's the team they play. But you get what I'm saying. If the Niners get over that specific hump of that team, you know, like how good they are, right? Like, Has anyone done that? And the answer is no. Who's the most optimistic Packers fan on the station?
Matt Hamilton or Mark Tauscher.
Mark Tauscher.
Yeah.
Has Tausch done that?
No.
Has Matt done that whenever he shows up?
I haven't talked to him in 3 weeks. No, I was kidding. I would say, to the point of, I brought up many times on the air, we haven't had a caller or texter disagree with me, and Molly, I don't think you have either, that when I watch this game, like, I want the Bears to win because I don't want to lose to the Packers. We talked about that. Yep. Like, this game is going to make us sick because just not because I feel like my team can't win or the Packers can't win. It's more of, like, the stakes of fandom. But at the same time, I have no fear the Packers are going to go on a playoff run, nor do I have any hope that the Bears are going to go on a playoff run. Like, both these teams both feel like one and done, which for me as a team with first year as a coach and second year as a quarterback, I'm kind of okay with. But with the Packers, to Evan's point, it could get really weird at this point. They're the team that went out and got Micah Parsons, rightfully so, because they thought they could go win a Super Bowl. And if this season ends one and done, which goes back to your question, Evan, about Ben Johnson or LaFleur, or maybe Molly, you asked it, I would go with LaFleur. I get your point, but there's so much on the line for the Packers because then the legacy of Jordan Love, if they don't win, is never won the division, has lost as the 7 seed twice, has 1-3 in the playoffs. That looks more like Dak Prescott.
Okay, but you also brought up losing Micah Parsons. That is the biggest driver of this season going down.
Legacy's never fair. So, like, I get your point, but, like, that's all going to be on the LaFleur Jordan Love template. Yeah.
Jim and Molly, like, we would talk over the summer, and we would talk about Super Bowl aspirations for this team, right? Mm-hmm. And that's before Micah was on the team. So if I said to you guys in July, I have to just tell you that Kenny Clark is going to be – he won the lottery. He's moving to Hawaii, and he's curing cancer, God willing, and he's going to be off the team. Do they still have a shot at the Super Bowl?
No, their defense is cooked. Their defense was cooked without Micah Parsons, as we can see. And Jeff Hafley has not done a good enough job to make this defense Super Bowl caliber whatsoever.
Okay. All right, so then they're not a Super Bowl caliber team. Because I just think that we had a lot of thoughts that they were a Super Bowl caliber team prior to Micah's arrival. Now, I've taken, in that scenario, Tucker Kraft is gone, Watson's banged up, Kenny Clark's gone. Like, there's other factors, obviously. But at one point, pre-Micah Parsons, we did look at this team as a Super Bowl team, and then they're 9-7-1 without Micah Parsons and without Clark, obviously, and without Kraft. But, like, again, to the original point, no one is playing out. Could the Green Bay Packers pull this off? Jordan, behind, look at Josh Allen in Buffalo, okay? Josh Allen does not have this loaded roster like he's maybe had in the past. How many times I've played out could they go to the Super Bowl this year? So is a million other people. You know why? Because the quarterback.
I was just going to ask you. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's weird to me that not even the most optimistic of Packers fans have played this out.
Yeah, because I also think if you think about Aaron Rodgers in his prime, if he was the quarterback on this team, we'd probably be saying it's Super Bowl or bust, right? Even without Micah Parsons?
Yeah.
Yes, that's interesting what you just said. So Aaron Rodgers is clearly better than Jordan Love, obviously. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers also, we would do Super Bowl or bust, but Aaron Rodgers, just based on track record, that was dumb of us to do because that's not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' specialty is not winning.
Yep.
It's him, his greatness. True. I'm not saying he doesn't want to win. I'm just saying, like, Jalen Hurts' specialty, winning. That's his specialty.
Yep.
Right? Aaron Rodgers' specialty is individual greatness. So retroactively, we were kind of dumb to do the Super Bowl or bust because they were never going to get to the Super Bowl because that's not what he wins MVPs. He doesn't win Super Bowl MVPs.
Doesn't win NFC Championship games.
Right. I mean, 2010 is a long time ago.
Yep.
So maybe Jordan Love can specialize in winning and maybe he goes on this run this year and maybe he gets to the Super Bowl and maybe next year we don't give a crap what his regular season numbers are because he's that guy like we look at with Jalen Hurts right now and say like, he can go to the Super Bowl. Even Purdy, who I love. But Purdy specializes in winning.
Yeah. As is Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I mean, that's the dream connect, that Shanahan-Purdy connect that LaFleur and Love and Packer fans hope that he develops into. Evan, great stuff. We appreciate it. I guess we'll ask the question. Who do you see winning this game, though, since we should ask one game question?
I believe I picked the Bears. I think it'll come out tomorrow on the ESPN Wisconsin social and digital. I think I'm pretty sure I picked the Bears mainly because, and listen, this is not the right way of doing it, but I'm being honest. I picked based on my themes for the week and what I've said on the air. And I've been all in on you better win, you better win, you better win, Ben Johnson. You called out LaFleur. You look like a horse's tush if you don't win because you're the one who – you didn't have to open that presser calling out LaFleur. And by the way, half it looks bad if they don't win either. Yeah, sure. You'll see Jason Wilde in the media next week saying goodbye. That's not what you were slamming your hands on the table for.
Evan, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.